Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. It's been an incredible, incredible day in Egypt. Right now in Cairo, Suez, Alexandria, thousands of protesters are facing off with the Egyptian army. Loud explosions, we just heard some, have been heard in Cairo, where the ruling party headquarters is ablaze. We've been watching history unfold on Al Jazeera English website and the BBC's live blog. We'll link you at hereandnow.org. But meanwhile, here's what was happening at the Al Jazeera headquarters in Cairo when police entered their building.
Also, I just wanted to give you some news that's happening in our building right now. We are told that state security has entered the building from which we are broadcasting a live signal. We are told that state security is now in our building here in the heart of Cairo. So it is an attempt, obviously, by the government to try and restrict these images that are being broadcast around the world from getting out. What we do know is...
Here's a little bit of a timeline this morning. The anger and violence on the streets escalated after midday prayers. The government cut all internet and cell phone service and sent out police. At 11 o'clock East Coast time here in the U.S., 6 p.m. in Egypt, President Hosni Mubarak ordered the army into the streets to enforce a curfew. Some people frantically tried to get home while others piled into the streets. Let's turn now first to Shadi Hamid. He specializes in Islamist political parties and democratic reform in the Middle East for the Brookings Institution. He's in Doha, Qatar, where we know, Shadi, you've been monitoring this. We've been listening to you on Al Jazeera. We appreciate your time. Your take on what you're seeing.
It's really remarkable, and words can't do it justice. This caught everyone by surprise. We knew it would be big, but we didn't know it would really explode the way it has. And now with reports of live ammunition, the army entering the streets, It could very well get messy and bloody, but nothing changes the fact that this is the largest pro-democracy protest in Egyptian history, and possibly in Arab history. This is truly unprecedented in every sense of the word. No matter what happens today, Egypt will never go back to the way it was before. And there will be a new Egypt tomorrow morning when we all wake up. We don't know what it's going to look like, but it will be different.
Well, and we know that the people have taken to the streets inspired by Tunisia, which toppled its government in its street protests. We know that it is pretty much an across-the-board protest, not an ideological one. It's people who are angry about what they call a corrupt government and about their poverty. But we also know that the Muslim Brotherhood, which originally said it would not participate in the protests, and this is, of course, the biggest Islamist group, has joined in today. Your thoughts on that?
That was a very important step for the opposition. The Muslim Brotherhood, as you said, is a large opposition force in Egypt, and now that they're behind this, this gives the protest movement some more strength. That said, it also has its negative. Now that the Brotherhood is more involved, it gives the regime an opportunity to say, look, you know who's really on the other side? These are Islamists. These are people who want to take over and change Egypt for the worse. And it's that kind of rhetoric that has resonance in the West, where people are very afraid of an Islamist takeover.
But Shadi, But Shadi, do you think they will do it, since the world is watching through Al Jazeera and other outlets, although very few at this point, and seeing just the range of people and the anger? Do you think the government will do that?
That the government will do?
We'll blame it on the Islamist faction.
Oh, it already is. It started blaming it on the Islamists on January 25th. I mean, the Egyptian regime is always going to use that line. But I think it's really important to point out that this is still a leaderless movement. The Brotherhood is one small part of a very large movement that brings in Egyptians from all walks of life. And that's why this is distinctive. It's an ideological movement. It's a truly national movement made up of everyday, ordinary Egyptians who said enough is enough.
You know, Shadi, I want you to stand by just for a second. Dr. Farooq Elbaz joins us in the studio. He's a geologist at Boston University and an Egyptian who served as science advisor to President Anwar Sadat for 3 years before Sadat's assassination. Dr. Elbaz, what are your thoughts watching these incredible pictures come out?
I agree with Shadi. This is a very major event, and it is an event that is started by the people. There is no political party, and I don't think the joining of the Islamist movements, or so-called Islamist movement, joining them will have any effect on this whatsoever, and it should not figure prominently in our minds, because this is a people revolt. It is not an earthquake of sorts. It is a volcano. People have had enough, and they want to a change, and from all layers of society, and therefore this is something that is an Egyptian revolt for freedom and for participation.
Well, Shadi and Dr. Elbaz, I want to ask you both about how violent you think it might get. Again, we've been watching on Al Jazeera. Now, earlier today, Shadi, before the curfew, people cheered when they saw army vehicles, these big convoys, and Al Jazeera was speculating that in Tunisia, which again toppled its government, the army protected the people from the feared police, and maybe Egyptians thought the same thing would happen. But now we're seeing the army being set on the police. And just a while ago, this again was during the curfew, people were on a bridge where they were trying to take an army vehicle and toss it off. Let's listen to coverage from Al Jazeera.
Kamal, unbelievable pictures you're seeing there of crowds of protesters trying to dump the vehicle. That is a personnel carry that carries troops of the police. They're trying almost to knock it over the
into
side
the river.
Of the
yeah.
bridge into the Nile. Yes, into the Nile.
Shadi Hamid, watching in Doha, how violent do you think this is going to get? What do you think the military will do?
Well, we have to keep in mind the Egyptian military is not like the Tunisian military. The Egyptian military has in the past come to the defense of the regime. They are better paid. They have a wide array of benefits in Egyptian society. In other words, Mubarak has taken care of the military, and for obvious reasons, and now he stands to benefit from that. So if we're expecting the army to play the role of protecting the people as it did in Tunisia, I think we should be careful about those comparisons. I think what we might actually be heading to is something very, very frightening, and this was always the big question in my mind. What happens when the army comes and starts shooting into crowds? And, you know, at that point, all bets are off, and this could become one of the more uglier situations in memory in the region. Hopefully we won't get to that, but that's one possibility.
Well, and Shadi, we have heard explosions and sounds that people speculate is firing, but we don't yet know. Maybe it's tear gas. We don't yet know. Dr. Elbaz, your thoughts, because there's another interesting wrinkle today. WikiLeaks released some cables that were purported to show that the military in Egypt is not very happy with Mubarak's plans for hereditary lineage, you know, handing on his 30-year reign to his son. And so what is your sense of how the side the military might take here?
Yeah, I don't agree with Shadi that the military will take the side of the regime this time. Because basically, first of all, they do not like this business of the hereditary transfer of power. And they thought that the military has been in power since Gamal Abdel Nasser's day, and they will continue to be in power and run the show from behind the scene. And in addition to that, there are a whole bunch of people in the military, particularly the younger officers and the soldiers, that are as disgusted of the present regime as the people themselves. So yeah. I don't really think that they will gladly shoot at the people.
Well, so a disagreement there. But Shadi, I know we have to let you go because you have to go back to your good work there in Doha, Qatar, covering this. Again, Shadi Hamid with the Brookings Institution. One last question. Do we know the whereabouts of Nobel Peace Prize laureate Mohamed El-Baradei? Earlier today, he was out on the street with the protesters, but he came out of a mosque and was hit by fire hoses. He had to take cover in the mosque. And then we heard he was under house arrest. Now, he of course, is someone who's come back to the country, seen as opposition to Mubarak. Do we know where he is?
It's not clear. There's been conflicting reports throughout the day. There's been some confusion over what's happened to him. There were reports that he was arrested, detained, house arrest. It's not entirely clear. But I think it's clear that the regime has taken some kind of action against him and is trying to limit his activities. And that just adds another international dimension to this story. Baradei, one thing he does bring to this protest movement is international profile, international legitimacy. And if anything happens to him, let's say he's beaten or something along those lines, that's going to make the Egyptian regime look even worse than it currently is. And I think it will give the U.S. and other Western powers an incentive to come out a little bit more strongly against what the Egyptian regime is doing. And I think that was what Baradei thought he could offer to Egypt, in that he has an international profile that no other opposition leader in Egypt has.
Well, Shadi Hamid, I know we have to let you go. Just in the brief minute or so we have with you, what do you think the conversation is right now with U.S. officials and Egyptian officials in the government?
Well, the American position is evolving. Just a few days ago, Hillary Clinton said, we believe the Egyptian regime is stable. It seems that she was tempting fate there. And it's just amazing. First of all, it's amazing that a top U.S. official would say something like that, and that came under a lot of criticism in Egypt and the Arab world that she would say that. Since then, they've tried to walk that back and come out in at least support of freedom of expression, of internet freedom. But again, the language is very mild. It's along the lines of we express concern. But I think we should be clear. What the events that are happening now in Egypt don't require concern. I think they demand outrage. And going on, you'd think that the U.S. would be willing to take a stronger position. But, of course, the Egyptian regime is one of their closest allies. They're the primary benefactor of Egypt in terms of military and economic assistance. So the U.S. is very much in a bind now because they don't want this to fall, but the protesters in the streets do want this regime to fall. So in that sense, the interests of both sides are opposed.
That's Shadi Hamid. He specializes in Islamist political parties and democratic reform in the Middle East for the Brookings Institution. He's in Doha, Qatar, where he's been just monitoring every second of this incredible day in Egypt as thousands of people take to the streets. But unlike the past couple of days, the violence has escalated. The army now in the streets as well. Shadi, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And, of course, we have not yet heard from President Hosni Mubarak. I'm in the studio with Dr. Farouk Elbaz from Boston University, but he also served as science advisor to President Anwar Sadat in Egypt. He's an Egyptian as well. We are going to have more with Dr. Elbaz after the break. But to sum up, the thousands of Egyptians have taken to the streets in Egypt. There's a question of what happens next. Is it too late for President Mubarak to come out and say anything that will stop this anger? We'll have more after the break. And don't forget, at our website, hereandnow.org, we'll link you to Al Jazeera English live streaming of this incredible day in Egypt.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software dedicated to accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science worldwide. On the web at mathworks.com.
Welcome back to Here and Now. We've been watching an incredible day in Egypt, but it's not yet clear whether we're watching the toppling of a government, which, by the way, is the closest ally to the U.S. in the Arab world, or if we're going to be seeing a brutal put down of an uprising. We don't yet know. What we do know is that it's a day of chaos across Egypt, especially in Cairo, where thousands have taken to the streets despite a curfew ordered by President Hosni Mubarak and despite the fact that the army is now in the streets. Here's another glimpse into what's happening in Cairo, the sound from Al Jazeera.
The fires across Cairo are still burning brightly there. You can see on the bridge that armored personnel truck that was carrying soldiers completely almost now melted. The NDP headquarters just off to the left of where we're looking out also set on fire a short while ago. The cloud of black smoke. There you can hear another massive explosion, and it seems that there's been another fire that's been set underneath the bridge.
And we heard those explosions, and there are many more. We're not quite sure what they are. We don't know if they're some sort of ammunition or if they're tear gas. We don't yet know. Joining us in the studio, Dr. Farouk Elbaz. He's a geologist now at Boston University, but as a citizen of Egypt, served as science advisor to President Anwar Sadat for 3 years before Sadat's assassination. Dr. Elbaz, have you been talking to people in Egypt?
Yes, quite a bit. And my students called me all the time, and my family members and friends. And just before I came here, one of my students called me from Alexandria, and he said that the governor's offices are on ablaze, on fire, mm-hmm. and people have destroyed several of the police stations, meaning that they are actually attacking the symbols of the regime as well as the security forces.
And what does this say to you? A day that, I mean, we remember when the protests started earlier this week. In response, sort of set off by the protest in Tunisia that did topple that government, even the protesters were shocked that it happened. What's the sense today that this is happening at this rate?
It really tells you something about what has been happening for many years. That situation had been simmering for many, many years. You go in the streets and you sit in a cab and you only hear discussed about the government and their procedures and so on.
Why? Remind us why.
I mean, because there is the people feel that the government is completely cut off from them, that these people have no voices. There is a bunch of people that are benefiting from way up on top, and nobody gives a damn about the young ones, and no one has any hope for jobs in the future. If you don't have a relative or somebody to speak for you, you're not going to get a job, you're not going to get married, you're not going anywhere, you have no future. So the younger generation is disgusted with the whole thing.
Incredible amount of poverty. And we know there's a Facebook page that was loosely run by protesters listing their demands. They wanted President Mubarak to declare that neither he nor his son will stand for the next presidential elections. Mubarak has been in office 30 years.
Yes.
Dissolve the parliament, hold new elections, end emergency laws, giving police extensive powers. And we know part of the flame that started this bigger conflagration, if you will, was that a man was brutally beaten by police.
Yes.
That's in the run-up to all of this. But, you know, there was talk earlier today that Mubarak was going to come out and make some concessions, perhaps say, I will step down, we will have elections. Is it too late?
I think it is too late. I mean, he showed that he is no leader of any sort. I mean, during this time when things were simmering, he didn't mention any of that. And all of the party celebrations, he says everything is hunky-dory. We are all doing this and that. We have the government did this and that. And people say this is nonsense. Now, where is he living? And they say, oh, he's living in Sharm el-Sheikh. It's a resort area. And he has no idea where we live or what we do. So he has lost touch with the people, and his own people have lost touch with the people.
What do you think happens now? We're hearing reports again out of Al Jazeera. Again, we'll link you at hearandnow.org. You've been listening all morning, I know. It's been quite something. But we're hearing that the dreaded police, the secret and plainclothes police, have actually pulled back. And what do you read into that? And that it's the army that's on the streets.
Yeah, they pull back a little bit because they're afraid of the fact that they will be recognized, and then the people will come at them in a big way. And that would be brutal because the situation right now has gone beyond the reasonable way. I mean, I'm a geologist, and they will say that it's no longer kind of like an earthquake. It really is a volcanic eruption. So the whole population is wild. The whole population is disgusted with the regime, and they want change. And in many ways, we should let them be. I mean, this is nothing against America or nothing against the West. This is completely and totally an Egyptian case. And the Egyptians are still friends of America. If they get a little more freedom and a little more democracy, so be it.
If you've just joined us, by the way, we are talking about the situation in Egypt, which has escalated. We're going to give you a little bit of sound, and I'm going to speak to Alex, who I'm working with here. I'm looking for that first piece of sound. This was as the rioting really began to escalate earlier. It just has snowballed. You might have heard this morning that cell phones were cut off, and you might have heard that the curfew was instituted, but it has nonetheless really escalated. Let's listen to a point when it was certainly heating up.
We're showing you live pictures right now of protesters that have run to an armored vehicle that they believe is the army. Now, again, I cannot confirm who these sources are, but you can see the celebration
on the faces of the protesters. A short while ago, a few minutes ago, protesters were chanting, where is the army? Come and save us. Where is the army? Come and save us. So the Egyptian military, which is very much respected and revered by the public, has been asking for them to intervene and protect them from the riot police.
That's, again, sound from Al Jazeera. Dr. El-Abbas, we just have a few seconds. Do you think the army will side with and save the people?
I really think so. The army will try to establish a little bit of peace and security, and then will side with the people because the army is from the people.
All right. Well, again, we heard earlier from Hamid in Doha, who said he did not feel that this would be the outcome. So this is what we're waiting to see. Which way will the violence on the streets go? Will the army side with the people, turn on the government? Or side with the government, turn on the people? Again, you can follow all of this, Al Jazeera English Live at hereandnow.org. It's quite a day. Dr. Farouk El-Abbas, again from Boston University, but also served President Anwar Sadat before Sadat's assassination as a science advisor. Thank you so much for your time, and our thoughts to your family and friends in Egypt.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Back after the latest news, Here and Now.
Support for Here and Now comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced, Hinckley, Allen & Snyder, where partners have been giving clients practical legal advice for over 100 years throughout New England, and now including Connecticut, online at haslaw.com. And the Institute of Contemporary Art on the Boston waterfront. Discover the power and beauty of new art and ideas, icaboston.org.